Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Hope the start of your weekend is going well. Not sure how it could start any better than with a Bears loss on Thursday Night Football in very Bears fashion. A 6-3 loss. Listen, I know there's a lot of conversation out there. Thursday Night Football, not a great brand of football. Same thing with the Wednesday games. There's something to that, probably. It's not quite, I think, what you get on Sundays, Sunday night, even Monday Night Football. It's not going to change, so I don't know that there's too much worth going into it too much. But just, you get to see a Bears loss on Thursday Night Football. Not an aesthetically pleasing game, but a choke job again at the end, not knowing how to kind of navigate the clock. Just very Bears sort of loss. 6-3, their final home game of the season. And yeah, the only opportunity that Chicago will have to get a win post the Tyreek Stevenson fiasco will be against Green Bay next week at Lambeau Field. Crazy. Crazy. Like, they were about to go, 5-2 if they won that game? And they were on top of the world. They had their coach, their quarterback. Everything was trending in the right way. Not so much anymore. Classic Chicago Bears season. You hate to see it. You just hate to see it. All right, that's enough Chicago Bears talk, though. Before we get any further, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Eric N., Mike Witt, Zoid Stomper, Brett B., Brian Rogers, Matt Ike, J-Boy, Shell Yeah, and Ogi Novakovic. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. Quick change in the status of this game, or at least the line for this game. We talked about yesterday, Packers 1-point favorites. It has now bounced back to the Vikings being 1-point favorites. I could see this bouncing back a couple more times. I could see this being anywhere from Vikings 2.5 to Packers 2.5. It feels like this should just be a pick 'em. It feels like a total toss-up game. But right now, line as I'm recording this is Vikings 1-point favorite, -1 on the old sports book. But I think this I talked about this on the Paul Farrington show. You play this game 100 times, it just feels like one of those that's going 50 one way, 50 the other. Maybe one team takes it 51, 52 times, but feels very evenly matched, especially in Minnesota. Minnesota has a little bit more to play for, in my opinion. Going for that divisional round game, trying to get that bye. Green Bay fighting for either the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th seed. Not nothing, and they want to get that big win on the road. But either way, this should be a phenomenal game. I can't wait for it. But as of right now, Vikings now 1-point favorite. Now let's get to our updated injury report presented by Habish Habish and Rotier. Let's start with the Vikings side of things. The Vikings find themselves incredibly healthy going into this week. Of course, they still have the Christian Darrisaw injury, but Fabian Moreau did not participate in practice. Everyone else was a full participant, including Blake Cashman, CJ Ham, Patrick Jones II, Josh Oliver, Ivan Pace, Jalen Redmond, and Harrison Smith. That was an upgrade for Jalen Redmond going from from limited to full participant, and Harrison Smith, who was a expected non-participant in the estimated injury report yesterday. He was a full participant on Thursday. Very, very healthy team for Minnesota. Green Bay, not quite as much. Did not participate, included Elton Jenkins, Quay Walker, Christian Watson, and Evan Williams. That was a downgrade for Elton Jenkins, who had been a expected full participant and now was a did not participate due to a knee injury. That'll be worth monitoring. Limited was Jair Alexander, Andre Dillard, Tyron Hopper, Tucker Kraft, and Luke Musgrave, as well as Javon Bullard. That was an upgrade for Tyron Hopper, who went from did not participate to limited. And Andre Dillard and Jair, that was a downgrade. Andre and Jair were expected to be full participants. They were limited. Dillard with concussion protocol stuff, and Jair Alexander, of course, with the PCL injury. And then full participant was Corey Ballantyne. Elton Jenkins, again, worth monitoring here quite a bit. Did not participate on a Thursday. Is a little bit different with a game on Sunday. Hopefully that's a little bit more vet rest related. But again, we'll find out more on Friday. And as we get into the final injury report going into the weekend, Let's talk about Jaire Alexander. Matt LaFleur was asked about him again on Thursday and said, is he any closer to playing or is there any like change? And Matt LaFleur basically said, no, there's no more hope this week than there was last week of him playing, basically indicating that Jaire Alexander will not play against the Minnesota Vikings. I can't imagine that they bring him back against the Bears next week. This feels like you're hoping, fingers crossed, that he can play in the wild card game. And of course, because Green Bay is ultra vague on all these injuries, everyone has a conspiracy theory as to what's going on here. The most likely scenario to me, and your guess is as good as mine, is that he's hurt. He has a PCL injury. It's taking a while to recover. He's doing everything in his power to recover from it and get back. The Packers are doing everything in their power to support him in doing so. And it's not completely cooperating the way that everyone had hoped. And everyone's frustrated by it. The fans are frustrated by it. The team's frustrated by it. Jaire's frustrated by it. And there's nothing you can really do. That's my guess. But because we don't know for sure, everyone has their own interpretations. Either Jaire's not doing enough to get back. I don't see that being the case. Or the Packers are just going to rest him until the playoffs. I don't see that being the case. I just think he's hurt. It's tough to say. I will say, just trying to read between the lines as much as possible, it does feel, when Matt LaFleur talks about it, that there's a level of frustration. What's tough to tell is Matt frustrated by the injury? Or is Matt frustrated about something that Jaire's doing or not doing to make it so that he's not recovering from this injury? That I don't know. What I talked about a little bit on Packaday Live yesterday was that sometimes in these scenarios, what can happen, and I don't know that this is the case, I have no idea, but sometimes what can happen is the doctors and the medical staff clear a player and say, yep, he's good to go. We clear him medically. He should be able to play this week. And the player says, no, I don't feel that way. I don't feel like I'm structurally sound enough, or that I feel like there's a risk of re-injury, or it still really hurts, whatever it might be. The player says, not so fast. I don't feel like I can go out there and play the way that I should be able to go out and play. And you can end up with this push and pull where the team's saying, listen, you're cleared. And part of your job description is to kind of go out there when you're hurt, not when you're injured, but when you're hurt and we need you out there. And the player says, no, I don't feel like myself. I don't feel like I can go out there and perform the way that I'm supposed to. And that can end up in some awkward situations. Again, I'm not saying that that's the case, but that could be. And again, everyone has their own thoughts or conspiracy theory, whatever you want to call it, on what's exactly going on here. The optics are weird. And it just seems like this is the way that Green Bay likes to operate in these situations. The optics were always weird with Bakhtiari. They were weird in that final season with Za'Darius Smith. They're weird right now with Jaire Alexander. And I'm not sure why they go about doing it this route. And I'm not saying give away the farm and say, yep, Jaire is going to be out for such and such period of time exactly, and he's not going to play in this game or the other game. I get that there are inherent advantages to being a little bit more vague with this stuff, including not putting pressure on the player to come back in a certain amount of time if they're having a setback or whatever, keeping opposing teams guessing as to whether a player's going to play or not. I get that there are advantages to that, but I just wish there was a little bit more transparency so that we didn't have to have these bizarro weirdo conversations of like, what's going on with Jaire? When in all likelihood, it's just that his PCL probably is not 100% and he doesn't feel comfortable going out on it yet. And per Matt LaFleur, what was it, a week ago? It sounds like the testing data, the GPS data, sort of agreed with it, that he was not up to top speeds, not where he normally was at, and that it kind of proved that. I don't know if anything's changed. I don't know if it's the same. We just don't know. And that's where we're at with this. I still feel overall he's probably just recovering, and hopefully he's back come playoff time, but I would also agree that it does feel a little bit weird. I don't know what that means. I don't know how to interpret it any better than what we just kind of went through. We're just going to have to take it one step at a time. Would not expect him back certainly this week. Would not expect him back next week. And just the hope is that come playoff time, he'll be ready to go and not super rusty and able to play a decent amount of snaps. But we're just going to have to take it one week at a time at this point. All right, that brings us to our main topic for today, and that is our top grades, bottom grades for this past week. You can get the full grades over at PackerReport.com. Let's start on offense. My top graded player on offense was Jaden Reed. I thought this was a really fun game from Jaden Reed. Obviously had that kind of final dagger at the end from Malik Willis. He had a couple of those little pop passes. I also thought he blocked really well in this game. There were also a couple situations. He went up and got that ball from Jordan Love on kind of that 50-50 opportunity that Love gave him. Then there was another deep crosser that he came open and Love just kind of missed him on the play. I just thought he was consistently open on the day. When he was given opportunities, he made the most of them. And this is probably just about the best that I've seen Jaden Reed block as well. So this is a total performance from Jaden Reed, plus 1.00. Continues to have a really nice season. I know a lot of people pointing out like they'd like to see him a little bit more involved. I'm with you. I think I would like to see that as well. But he's having a great season one way or the other. And I think as this final stretch of games comes along and specifically come playoff time, Jaden Reed will be somebody that they target early and often in these games. And I expect Minnesota to be a version of that as well. Zach Tom, plus 0.95 grade. Thought this is one of his best games of the season. I thought he was fantastic in pass pro. I'm trying to remember back maybe one play where he kind of got pushed back a little bit more towards the quarterback. But I mean, he was pretty stellar all day long in pass pro. And I thought they set him up well in run blocking, where they were able to get him on the move a little bit more. Multiple plays where he was out there pulling out in front. And anytime you can use Zach Tom's mobility, it is going to be advantage Zach Tom. He's just really, really good, really mobile, really agile, and can get out to his spots almost no matter where you're asking him to get to. Can get to the second level, can get outside, and he showed off that ability in this game. Good run blocking performance, great pass protection performance, really, really good stuff from Zach Tom. And then number three, Josh Jacobs, plus 0.9 grade. I don't even think I need to go over anything with you guys. This would have been probably a much more massive grade if he wasn't shut down in the second half in this one for the most part. I mean, just constant broken tackles, run after the catch, making people miss. And this offense early on ran through Josh Jacobs. It's like he's getting better in real time. And I love the fact that they didn't have to use him much in the second half in this one, that they got him some rest, gave him a little bit of less wear and tear on his legs. I think that's going to become very important come playoff time. But right now, he is playing out of his mind. Keep him healthy for the playoffs, and you're going to be in a good spot because, again, I don't know if we're quite to 2022 Josh Jacobs levels, but he's playing fantastic, fantastic football. Like I said, is really the catalyst of this entire offense. Another stellar performance from Josh Jacobs. You know the one thing that can make the holiday season even better this year, and that is winning. And right now on Prize Picks, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. It is simple. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. And Prize Picks also offers a variety of weekly promotions that can lead to huge payouts. And yes, my favorite promotion is Taco Tuesday, when Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups. You can make your Prize Picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Sam Darnold to throw at least one interception against Green Bay, Jordan Love to throw for multiple touchdowns, and Will Reichard to kick multiple field goals because Minnesota is going to be settling for field goals all day long. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. Bottom three on offense is basically not even worth going over. Bo Melton, negative 0.15. Ben Sims, negative 0.1. Travis Glover, negative 0.05. All of them in a blocking capacity. I thought Melton could have done a little bit better job as a blocker in a couple situations. Didn't really do anything horribly or bad from a pass catching or route running situation. Ben Sims, again, blocking a couple plays. I thought he could have blocked a little bit better. Travis Glover, one play. I thought he could have blocked a little bit better. Travis Glover got in for just a handful of snaps, right? This is a long way of saying there was really no major negative grade here. Nobody that was getting any extended playing time. And again, a very slight negative, basically neutral grades for Melton, Sims, and Travis Glover. Some noteworthy performances. Jordan Love with just a plus 0.2 in this one. A lot of his completions were schemed up. Or just like had wide open receivers and like just pitch and catch. I thought the throw to Jaden Reed was really good. Gave him that 50-50. Probably could have been a bit more ahead of him to give Jaden Reed a little bit of an easier opportunity in that one, but still completed that one. That's a nice throw. And then there were plays like the Tucker Kraft play where he connects on him in the flat on fourth and two and he gets like 20 yards, but he's got Christian Watson wide open for a touchdown and does not pull the trigger on that one. I get him being safe on a fourth and two, but I think you probably still want to take that shot to a wide open Christian Watson. just an interesting day. Only two real bad throws. The one that Jaden Reed that I just mentioned on a deep crosser that he just missed. And then that throw to Bo Melton in the flat where, if you look at it, it looked like he never quite got the grip on the football that he wanted, was trying to hurry it out to Bo Melton, and it just grounded like 10 yards ahead of him. But nothing super egregious. His hard count was good, got people to jump off on a couple different occasions, and you know, came up with some completions early, but just a little bit more disjointed from Jordan. I will say it very, very much felt like the message from Matt was just, no matter what you do, take care of the football. We're going to beat this team easy. Just don't have any big mistakes and we'll be totally good. Because there were multiple times where Jordan was looking downfield and had maybe the opportunity to pull the trigger. And he's just like, you know what? I don't need to risk it. Just check down or throw it away or live to see another down. And overall, I liked that from him. But it just ended up in a fairly nondescript plus 0.2 grade for Jordan. Meanwhile, Malik Willis, plus 0.3, that gorgeous throw to Jaden Reed on the deep crosser, and then made the most out of what he could on that little read option play where he kept it and is just swarmed by defenders. Just getting what he could on that play was a pretty impressive play as well. So he actually graded slightly ahead of Jordan Love, despite just playing a little bit in garbage time in this game, in large part due to that gorgeous throw to Jaden Reed. Emmanuel Wilson plus 0.45 and Chris Brooks plus 0.35. I talked about this with Aaron Nagler the other day, but man, it's got to be so frustrating for a defense when Josh Jacobs goes out of the game and you're thinking, oh, thank God, I can finally relax a little bit and like no Josh Jacobs. And then those two guys are just coming at you full bore, trying to run through your face, take your soul. I love the way that those two running backs run. They're running fast, hard, physical, downhill. And once you get Josh Jacobs out of the game, you know, this is not a thunder and lightning situation. This is a thunder, thunder, thunder. And it's just constantly coming right at you. Love the way that these guys play ball. Chris Brooks had, I think, one negative in pass pro, a couple other plays where he picked it up pretty well. And just Emmanuel Wilson kind of making the most out of some not always advantageous situations. And same thing with Josh Jacobs, of course. Just three really good performances at running back in this game. Tucker Kraft, I thought, was really good, plus 0.55. Had a few negative grades late in this one. Otherwise, he would have graded even better. But overall, good run blocking. Really, really good in just run after the catch and catching the football again. I think he only had like three catches in this one, but made the most of them. Just another really solid performance from Tucker Kraft. Rashid Walker, one of his best games of the season with a plus 0.6. Thought he was really good in all phases. Some of the better run blocking I've seen from Sheed, and then his usual self in pass pro. And he's really settled into that through the course of the season. Then you had Elton Jenkins, plus 0.55. Another really good game from Jenkins. Again, good in pass pro, solid in run blocking. And Luke Musgrave, coming back from injury, plus 0.1. Nothing too over the top. Didn't really do much as a pass catcher. Had a couple okay blocks, just a very slight positive, but just great to see him back there in eight snaps in this game, or at least right around there. All right, top three on defense. Zane Anderson was number one with a plus 0.8 grade. You saw the interception, also came up and filled the gap really, really well in run defense. I was really impressed from what I saw. And talk about a guy who did not get a ton of prep. Javon Bullard was expected to be the starter. Evan Williams was expected to be the starter. And then he goes down late in the week and he barely gets any practice reps. He goes out there and just performs. I mean, he looked like a starting safety. And he was the highest graded defensive player in this game for me. Big time interception and some really good run defense. Very few mistakes. Just really nice game from Zane. Brenton Cox, plus 0.7. He continues to impress. I talked about this the other day. He almost looks like the second best defensive end right now. He's getting pressure. He is stopping the run. He is setting the edge. He's aggressive. He's physical. He's attacking. He's everything that you want at defensive end. And this has been a huge find for Green Bay. It seems almost unfathomable in hindsight that he only or didn't play at all in the first, 9 weeks of the season up until the trade deadline. He's been a really good find for Green Bay, and I think he's going to continue to get more playing time based on what we saw this past week. And then the last one was Rashawn Gary, plus 0.65. Continues to put in some really good work, especially as a run defender. I pointed out a play on Twitter, then Paul Bredel asked Matt LaFleur about it as well, and Matt also pointed out the increase in productivity as a run defender for Rashawn Gary and how he's gotten a lot better at it. It's been really fun to watch. He used to be a player that would get himself out of position a lot as a run defender. Not anymore. He's exactly where he's supposed to be, setting the edge, being a really strong, stout run defender, helping out his teammates, not going big game hunting or trying to do something out of what he's being asked to do. That's been a major improvement for Rashawn Gary. That showed up in this game quite a bit as well. Bottom three defenders, not much to talk about here either. Aaron Mosby, -0.35. Thought he struggled to get off of blocks just in general. Wasn't great in run defense, wasn't great as a pass rusher. Nothing super egregious here, but again, nothing that would put him really in the positives. And then Colby Wooden, almost same thing. Not a ton of snaps for Colby Wooden, but just couldn't make that impact, struggled to get off of blocks or make any sort of play in this game. And then TJ Slayton, -0.15. Started good, then had some plays late that just he got blown off the ball a little bit more. It all comes down to pad level for TJ. When he's playing down to the ground, the better center of gravity, it's really hard to attack him, and usually he's the one that's doing the attacking. When he gets more upright, offensive linemen get underneath him, move him out of his spot, and it makes things a lot more difficult on the linebackers in those situations. All right, noteworthy performances. Devontae Wyatt, +0.55. He was really good in this game. The last couple of games, he's really showing out. What was it, two sacks in this one? One sack in this one, I think, right? It was two sacks the game before for Devontae Wyatt. Either way, he continues to play really good football, and he's just playing much more explosive than he was, I think, coming off that injury. Thought he looked good at the beginning of the season, then had that injury lull. Coming back was not seamless. Now he seems to be getting his feet back underneath him and playing like the Devontae Wyatt we kind of expected coming into the season. Kenny Clark, for the fourth consecutive week, had a nice positive grade, +0.25, nothing super high, but continues to be a good run defender over this past month. He's my highest graded defender over the past month, and it's showing up on tape week in and week out. This is the Kenny Clark that we've been waiting for a little bit more. We're starting to see it with much more consistency. He's playing good football right now. Edgerrin Cooper, +0.4. It's really hard not to think that a star is being born right before our eyes. Like, he's just different. He's just special. He moves different. It looks different. Again, I'm trying not to get too giddy and excited about Edgerrin Cooper. 10 tackles in this one, sideline to sideline, flowing everywhere, using his instincts. I don't even know that the game needs to slow down for him because he's so damn fast already, but it almost feels like it's also slowing down for him and he's getting a little bit more comfortable out there. Just telling you right now, look the hell out, rest of the NFL. This is just an absolute stud. Keyshawn Nixon, +0.55. I thought he was really, really good. Forced fumble, sack, that was ultimately recovered. And I thought he was good in pass coverage, couple big stops as a tackler, one big hit in the open field. Just a really good game. And this game actually put him in the positive for the season, which is really incredible considering he's basically had to be the pseudo number one corner for a good chunk of this year. Outside corner, inside corner, man zone, like you can ask him to do a little bit of everything. He's not perfect. I'm not saying that he is, but he's had a really nice season for Green Bay. And now again on the year, is a plus performer for my grades on the season. Eric Stokes, +0.35. Oh, this is a really nice day from Eric, and back-to-back games now where he's played better. And again, it's so funny because, you know, obviously Justice and I talked about some of the struggles that Eric Stokes had. And then I immediately get something of like, watch, you know, now you're not going to talk about Eric Stokes when he has a good week. No, that's not how it works. And this might come as a shock to you. When players have really good weeks, we talk about those good weeks. When players have bad weeks, we talk about those bad weeks. That's what we do. There's no stake in the game here for me from like other than the fact that I want all of these guys to play unbelievably well. I promise you, I can look every single person in the eye and tell you I don't have a vendetta against any of these players. I'm not cheering against any of these players. I don't have like this secret like, oh, I'm going to give him a lower grade because of what. I have none of that. I can look you in the eye wholeheartedly and tell you that. I love when these guys play well. And there's nothing I love more than a comeback story or a bounce back story. Like if all of a sudden Eric Stokes just plays awesome football the remainder of the year, man, that'd be freaking awesome. I thought this was a really nice day for Eric. I thought he tackled well, came up much better than he has, I think, even, you know, in this season and certainly in his career. And then just good coverage on the outside, not beat at any point in time, just playing within himself. Technique looked a lot better. This was a very good version of Eric Stokes. I hope we see a lot more of that moving forward. Carrington Valentine, +0.2. Some good and bad on the day, but again, no real big issues for Carrington. Played good football. I think he had, I don't know if he had a pass breakup on a play, but couple plays with sticky coverage throughout the course of the day. And I continue to like what I see. He remains my highest graded corner on the year. Nothing super high, but still a positive performance on the year so far for Carrington Valentine. And then Omar Brown, -0.05. Just wanted to shout out the fact that he got in the game, played a handful of snaps, looked pretty good, slight small negative on one, but outside of that, it's pretty darn good. I liked what I saw, and we'll see if Green Bay, you know, kind of keeps him around. My guess, he'll be back in the practice squad. We'll see if he gets activated this week, but he was a fun little player. I liked watching him play out there, and we'll see if he has maybe a future in Green Bay, depending on what these injuries look like in the secondary this week. All right, so just to recap, top three on offense, Jaden Reed, Zach Tom, Josh Jacobs. Bottom three, Bo Melton, Ben Sims, and Travis Glover, although all of them were right around neutral. Top three on offense, or sorry, on defense, Zane Anderson, Brenton Cox, and Rashawn Gary. Bottom three on defense, Aaron Mosby, Colby Wooden, and TJ Slayton. All right, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining. Always appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, and Allison Tuckwab. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.